52. As Wax and Wayne neared the end of the tunnel, Wax noticed his friend sniffling and trailing behind. In the light streaming through the holes in a passing manhole cover, Wax saw that Wayne had sudden bags under his eyes.
"This might not be the best time to store up health," Wax whispered softly.
"I'm running low," Wayne mumbled. "I feel like I'm gonna need every bit I can store. That, or I'll die one of these times somebody shoots me. That's right, terrifying it is. Don't know how you all deal with it."
He paused. "If we get in a fight, I'll stop. Just need to squeeze a little extra in during breathers, you know?"
Wax didn't say anything. This was more a matter of comfort to Wayne than anything practical. Wayne wouldn't be able to store up much in the time they had. It took a ferrochemist months storing health to get a full metal mind. The tire tracks stopped at the end of the tunnel, where the giant concrete tube dumped out over the ocean. Wax was used to the relatively sheltered and calm waters of the Ellendale docks, where the waves were so placid you could be on a large lake. Here, on the promontory that Bilming occupied, the waters chopped and churned, crashing against the docks. No wonder the Bilming Navy was made up of such hulking metal monstrosities. He could see them in a row in the near distance, six terrible petrol-powered warships, each larger than the one before. It was strange to think that, even combined, they posed an insignificant threat compared to the bomb Wax was hunting. All that work to create weapons of war, invalidated by a single discovery. He gestured to a final hatch and ladder, which must lead to the lab. As soon as he and Wayne emerged onto a street by the docks, a door slammed nearby. Wax spun, scanning the warehouses.
"There," Wayne said, pointing. "Third one down. Someone was watching out the window, too."
The two glanced at each other, then took cover as gunfire exploded from the window. Conventional bullets and guns, his steel sight told him.
No aluminum weapons, Wax thought. They sent those Alamancers to try to deal with us, but didn't have time to otherwise prepare. We might finally be ahead of them.
He increased his weight with his metal mind, then pushed the next round of gunfire away, flinging the bullets back through the wooden walls and glass windows. Curses followed, giving him and Wayne a chance to scramble closer. Wayne nodded, so Wax increased his weight and hit the entire building with a steel push, anchoring himself from behind. The wall shook and a section was ripped free by its nails and a window housing. Wayne leaped in through the hole and dropped a few gunmen inside. Wax followed with vindication raised, three precise shots bringing down the gunman Wayne couldn't reach. As they fought, a truck revved its engine and barreled out of the other side of the warehouse, tires screeching. Wax caught sight of two others ahead of it, a small convoy escaping into the evening. A quick survey of the large room told him an entire story. Laboratory desks and machinery stripped bare in a frenzy, debris on the floor, torn corners of paper still stapled to the wall where charts or schematics had been hastily ripped down. Dangling chains indicated that something had been constructed here, built in the center of those desks. They hadn't expected Wax to dare raid the Silver House or find the tunnel. He was only one step behind now. Wax launched himself after the truck, decreasing his weight and flying through the large garage doors to track the truck as it screeched around another corner, nearly toppling in its haste. Wayne would take care of the stragglers. Wax needed to know what was in those trucks. He roared into the air in a rush, gaining height, and spotted the last of the three trucks heading back into the heart of the city. He'd spent the whole day running to catch up, to tease together plots that had been in motion for years. He was tired of half-answers, of feeling like he was 100 steps behind his sister. Now he had solutions in sight. Those trucks held real answers, perhaps even the bomb itself. He'd be damned to an eternal pit of ash before he let them get away. He pushed off a manhole cover, gaining more height. From there, street lamps, which were just starting to come on as the sun neared the horizon, became his anchors like stepping stones across a lake. He pushed on a pair at a time for lift and momentum, then began using buildings as enormous anchors. Then a moving car to gain even more speed, borrowing its momentum. Air became a whistle, then a roar around him, his mist coat tassels whipping and snapping. His furious pace let him gain on the three trucks even as they moved at speed on the highway.
He had almost reached the last one in line when a slot opened in the back door and the barrels of several automatic rifles, aluminum, peeked out. They'd saved the good weapons for themselves as they fled. A hail of aluminum bullets followed. Wax moved by instinct. His pursuit so far had been too direct, making him an easy target. He dodged to the side as the bullets cracked in the air. He lurched away from the highway over cars full of startled civilians, then between two buildings to give him cover. There he ground to a stop, boots on asphalt, tassels falling still around him. This isn't right, he thought. His path following the trucks had been obvious, but their path along the highway was more so. Could they be playing him yet again? He launched himself off a bullet, then gained speed by pushing against the buildings to the sides, rattling windows, cracking a few as he warped their metal housings. In Ellendale, he had to hold himself back, moderate his actions to minimize property damage. But Harmony had set Wax on this path, and you didn't bring Dawnshot out of retirement to play nice. The lives of millions were at stake. He'd break a few windows to stop it. Hell, he'd break a few necks. He barreled up over cars, ignoring the cries of startled pedestrians as he moved parallel to the highway, trying to gain enough speed to catch up to the enemy truck, but keeping buildings between him and it. At the right moment, he ducked back out, shattering windows, and darted across the highway, finding the third truck exactly where he'd hoped it would be. It was in a pack of civilian vehicles, so Wax dodged behind cover again and followed parallel for another minute. He soared down that side street feeling alive, propelled by steel, a bullet in flight. Perhaps he'd been without this for too long and so had forgotten the rush, but he felt more in control than he ever had before. Have to stop that truck slowly, he thought, in case the bomb is inside. He assumed the device couldn't be detonated simply by being jostled. His experiment the other day had shown that the real explosion required specific mechanical intervention, but he had to be careful regardless. At the next intersection, he glanced right and saw what he'd hoped to see. The truck, in its haste to stay ahead of him, had pulled away from the pack of civilian vehicles into a more open stretch of the highway. Wax darted in over the edge of the highway and increased his weight tenfold. He slowed in the air as a result and hit the side of the passing truck with a steel push, grinding it into the highway's sidewall. It jostled more than he would have liked, but it did slow. Wax changed trajectory, staying alongside the truck, forcing it into the sidewall until its tires burst and it stopped. He hit the ground near the broken rear door, sighting three unsteady gunmen within. He took them out, then drilled a bullet right through the front wall of the truck, hitting the driver in the back of the head. But other than those people, the truck was empty. It was a decoy. Damn it! He launched back into the air, pushing off the truck, bending and warping the crumpled roof as he sought height. Such a push could only take him up so far. The farther you went from your anchor, the less force you could push upon it. He reached the zenith of what his anchor could provide and spun, scanning the city below, searching for... There! The second truck was racing along the highway ahead. He almost darted straight for it. But... Three trucks, at least one decoy. He spotted another far ahead on the straightaway. This was too easy. They were so visible on a highway like this. They could keep his attention, draw him away from... He hovered there, still pushing, holding himself upright, though wind began to blow him to the side, upsetting his anchor. As he began to lose altitude, he spotted it. A fourth truck with the same markings winding its way through the side streets perpendicular to the highway. It was heading inward, toward the center of the city. He barely glimpsed it as it moved behind some buildings. That was the one he needed to catch. He left the others, hoping his instincts were right, and dropped into the city. He slowed with a push on the top of a parked automobile, cracking the windshield with his weight, then warped the hood as he landed. He launched forward through the center of a park, scattering a flock of ravens, then bounded up the side of a building, barely reaching the top as his push gave out. There was an invigorating thrill to the motion. The city was so full of metal, so packed with obstacles. In a chase, each could be an advantage. Wax could soar over buildings, get height, track the vehicle, and gain on it as the truck had to keep to the roads and deal with traffic. Wax dropped over the side of a building, then propelled himself between two others with the force of a swimmer pushing off the wall at the start of a lap. He swept around corners and almost seemed to be able to ride the cries of the people below, like a bird riding thermals in the desert. Chases in the roughs had their own charm, but nothing there could truly compete with the thrill of landing inside a building via the balcony, charging through and emerging on the other side to find his quarry right below. A balcony railing was a springboard, and nearby structures let him fine-tune his descent. Here he could fly in a way he'd never been able to in that land of dust and stone. He could acknowledge that, no, embrace it, now that he had let go of his past. The people in the truck ahead pulled open another slot on the back door. Wax sighted with vindication, but not toward the window, toward the door itself. He plugged it with a haze killer round, one with a secondary explosion designed to rip apart hemallergist bodies. It blasted the door to shrapnel and split open the rear of the truck. As the gunman stumbled away, Wax got a view inside. No bomb, but a ton of boxes, ledgers, and documents. That would have to do. He let the truck pull ahead as the gunman started laying down fire. Wax increased his weight and shoved on a grate below him in the street, bending and twisting it out of the way as he dropped through and entered the storm drain tunnels again. He twisted in the air, delivered two bullets into the tunnel wall behind him, then pushed off those and the remnants of the grate that had plunged into the mud to send himself screaming through the tunnel right under the street. Wax came out a second later, blasting a manhole cover off into the air. He landed, one foot on either side of the open manhole, and increased his weight many hundreds of times, completely draining his metal mind. Then he pushed. His feet skidded a few inches on the concrete. The truck crumpled as if it had hit a solid wall, the front mashing like tinfoil, doing unfortunate things to the driver. The back end of the truck lurched up into the air, then slammed down, trailing loose-leaf pages. One of the wheels rolled completely free, straight through the front window of a nearby building. A liquor store, Wax noticed with a wince. Wayne would not appreciate that. The street fell quiet as other cars stopped, their drivers cowering in their seats or, more commonly, staring slack-jawed. Wax took a few deep breaths, his pulse racing, his body electric, his mind focused on the job. He released another breath and was surprised by how calm he felt. A part of him had worried about returning to the field again, worried that by experiencing these kinds of thrills he'd view his normal life as mundane, lacking. It didn't happen. He could go on a chase like that through the city anytime he wanted in Ellendale, as long as he wasn't quite so flagrant about the property damage. He could even bring Max along and have someone to share in the joy. He didn't need this, not as he once had. What a wondrous thing that was to confirm. He took a deep breath, then rounded the truck.